Yeah, Cardinals getting ready for a Week 6 matchup against the Atlanta Falcons. We're down to the nitty-gritty in three of the four divisional series in Major League Baseball, going to Game 5s, including two in the National League today. So we can go anywhere with our next guest, Pedro Gomez, who joins us from ESPN on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Pedro, how are you?
I'm well. So the Cardinals play Atlanta this weekend, and the Cardinals play Atlanta today.
Look at that. Will you be seeing both of those matchups, Pedro?
I will be seeing today's, and I'll be wherever the NLCS is this weekend.
Ah, gotcha. Well,
no. I'm on hiatus from Kyler duty right now.
Yeah, baseball takes precedence. I could see that.
That's October. It's October.
Yeah, Bick and I were talking, though, about the Major League Baseball playoffs so far have exceeded expectations. I mean, starting with that wild card game between the Nats and the Brewers, it's been a thrill ride. I mean, outside of really the Yankees-Twins series, all these series have been great so far.
No doubt. I mean, you've got, you know, of the four DSs, three are going to a Game 5. And, you know, there's nothing like the finality of the end of a series being the last possible game. It just, you know, it's just thrilling. It's thrilling to know this is it. The winner moves on, the loser goes home, their season's over, and, you know, you see the teams just lay it all on the line. Because they recognize, you know, what's at stake here. They fully recognize it. The fans obviously do, but the players do as well.
What is this? All right, let me ask you just the thought of maybe Houston and or L.A. getting eliminated. How nervous, how much pressure, and how do you think nerves are going to play a part in both those game fives?
It's funny because really, if Tampa loses, okay, they were not even supposed to be there. But if Houston loses, you're right. And the same thing with the Dodgers. It's not like, you know, the Nationals have, you know, they've never actually gone on to a second round. So winning that wild card game was the first time that they've ever won a round in the postseason since moving to D.C. And I think the pressure is all on the favorites. I think it's on Houston and L.A. completely. And it's one of those things where if you're those clubs, you have to worry about playing. You don't want to play not to lose rather than to win. And I feel like both Tampa and Washington are playing with house money where it's like, let's just go out and see what happens. Whereas both the Dodgers and the Astros are like, we can't lose. We're not supposed to lose, and we can't lose. And usually when you play with that type of mentality, things don't go well.
Yeah, and I mean, at least Houston has the advantage of having a recent World Series win, and I know they went out and got Greinke at the deadline, and it wasn't just a rental. They got him for a while, but the Dodgers really have to be fearing that because 1988 was a long time ago, Pedro.
31 years.
Yeah. Pedro Gomez from ESPN, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Along those same lines, in terms of pressure, the game that you're covering, St. Louis in Atlanta, Cardinals, Braves, I don't think there was much heaped on either team in terms of expectations, but who would you say the pressure sides with there?
I mean, you know, usually the home team is the one that is supposed to win, so you'd probably put a little bit more on Atlanta, but yet, you know, they're at home. But look, Jack Flaherty looks like he is ready to take that step to become an incredibly great pitcher, like move into that rarefied air where you have the elite guys. You win a game five in a playoff series, that kind of pushes you into that category. So there's a lot riding here. I mean, Foltynewicz is very good. He's a very, very good starter. Any club would love to have him. But Flaherty has a chance to move into that really, really high altitude place that some starters get to live in. So, there's pressure on him to do that as well. But he's got one postseason appearance under his belt now, and usually that kind of tends to knock your nerves down a little bit. So I think it's going to be a fascinating game to watch. I expect it to be low scoring, and I've already been told that bullpen-wise, it's probably going to be Max Fried, who's been a starter all year, but he's being used out of the bullpen in this series, and probably Adam Wainwright, who just threw 120-plus pitches a few days ago in Game 3 and looked really, really good. But at age 38, you know, the bounce back, who knows what you're going to get. But he's going to want the ball.
Let me ask you this. Why don't you go ahead and rank the traded Diamondbacks in terms of in terms of how you think they've done this postseason, and then follow with this. Say Houston gets eliminated and Zach Greinke gave Houston one start and he got blown up in that start. What is going to be the fallout of that trade when that guy kind of has a history of not always feeling comfortable when all the stuff that goes along with playoff baseball comes inside the stadium?
You know, it's Houston. I doubt that it's going to be that bad for him. If he were in New York, I think things would be a lot worse for him. But you know, I don't think Houston is a place that tends to, you know, wrap its arms around the guys that wear their uniform. So I doubt that he would face much of that. Baseball circle wise, I think that there would be a lot of maybe some snickering going on, saying, "Ha, he didn't do anything for them." You know, the smartest organization in baseball, which is how a lot of other people view the Astros because of their, you know, perceived arrogance and things like that. But in terms of ranking ex-D-backs, I'm going to put Max Scherzer number one. What he has done this postseason, what he's done since, you know, being traded, three Cy Young awards, he's number one. Goldschmidt is having a tremendous postseason, and it's funny because after the game four victory, he was one of my on-field interviews, and I asked him, I said, "What does it mean to you to wear this uniform?" And he said, "You know, when I look around and we get visitors in the clubhouse, everyone that walks in there is a Hall of Famer. Bob Gibson, Lou Brock. I mean, you know, you go down the list and, you know who's worn this uniform. And it means a lot. And that's what comes with tradition. And, you know, the D-backs have only been around a little over 20 years. They just don't have that. But the St. Louis Cardinals are, you know, one of the Mount Rushmores, let's say, of Major League Baseball, and they have gained that reputation, especially with 11 World Series championships, the players who have played for that organization. And Goldschmidt recognizes what an honor it is to wear that uniform and to be considered one of the better players on the current roster. Mm-hmm. And you know what else, guys? Look, Adam Wainwright's 38. He's toward the end. Yadi Molina is toward the end of his career. That's going to be Paul Goldschmidt's team in another 2 years or so.
Yeah.
He is going to be the guy wearing that uniform who everyone looks up to. And that's going to be interesting to see how he responds to that.
Yep. Pedro Gomez from ESPN, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Another plot line to that Game 5 in Atlanta is the Ryan Helsley tomahawk chop plot line. Ryan Helsley of the Cardinals, who's a Native American descent, comes out and says, "It's disrespectful, it's caveman behavior." I know the Braves listened, I know they issued a statement on it, but that doesn't necessarily govern the behavior of the fans. What do you expect on that front for a Game 5 tonight, Pedro?
Oh, I think if he comes in, they'll probably boo him excessively, but it's kind of like one of those things where, you know, don't mess with our side, even though Helsley is well within his rights to voice his opinion on something that really, unless you have that bloodline in you, you're not allowed to say he's right or wrong. Only he can. He's the one that is wearing those shoes. So I, you know, I would expect him to probably hear a cascading of boos. I highly doubt that they would play it while he's on the mound, but that'll be an interesting subplot to kind of follow. And, you know, again, I he's allowed to say what he wants. He is the one who is Cherokee. We're not.
Yeah. Pedro, thanks so much for the time and checking in with us. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.